Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Israel, Mariah Hawkins, and I'd like to start serving you forever as the priest is starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Israel Abel Zipporah. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. And with this, I'd like to turn over to the great priest in the house, Yael.
Okay, this past week, we were blessed with an added certification class, and it was a review of the past three chapters that we have done for the in the women's class of the first book of Israel, and it was pertaining to the seven-year peace treaty and these last days, which we are in these last days in this time period, and it's been brought out by all of the speakers from the Kohans, from the overseer, and from all of the great speakers who have spoken before you, that have proven time and time and time again that we are in these last days. Now, what I am going to focus on is I am going to be focusing on the start of the last 3.5 years. And if I could have my calculation, this is from the timeanddate.com, and I had done a calculation from when the peace treaty was stopped, which was 4/13/1997, and when I was given the date of when this peace treaty has started again, which is 6/7/2019. And the calculation of this of these days is 8,091. Now, I'm going to be bringing out information from the Strong's Concordance. Mine is the red letter edition, and I'm going to start with 898,091. And as you can see, 8,091 comes from 8,085. Okay, now I'm focusing on the number 8,085. 8,085 is a primitive root, and it means to hear intelligently. Now, what do those words bring to mind? To hear intelligently. We can hear, we can listen, but we have to listen with an intelligent mind. And the overseer has been bringing that out, that we need to focus on what's being brought out, take notes, so that we can understand what's being brought out and what's going on in these last days. So to hear intelligently. It also is to tell of attention. It hears. Can you show that again, please? There's a couple words that I want you to notice. It says publish in these last days. The overseer is publishing these words to the nations. It means to declare. He is declaring in these last days what is taking place in these prophecies. It means to call together or gather. The great gathering of the saints of Yahweh. The great gathering of the called out ones into this area of Abilene. The house of Yahweh for protection. It means to be a witness. Now, who is our witness in these last days? Is it the overseer? He has been called out by Yahweh, and he has been given and ordained into that position by Yahweh himself. He has proven again and again and again in the scriptures that he is the witness. He didn't want to declare it himself. He didn't want to speak of it himself. He had the Kohans and other speakers bring it out until it was brought to his attention that he is to declare this in these last days. Just as Yeshua was to declare his prophesied position in his daytime. That's how Yahweh works. Now, to go on into the vines, it goes into a in-depth definition of these different words that are associated with this number 8085. And it may also imply to gain or get knowledge. We are in this last days where there's been an increase of knowledge. Now, there's been an increase of knowledge for Yahweh's work to go forward, but Satan has taken it upon herself to defile this knowledge and this increase and this gaining of knowledge. So you have to pay attention here intelligently to what's being brought forth. It also means, it's in the case of hearing and hearkening, to a higher authority. The higher authority over the overseer is Yeshua and Yisrael. The higher authority over us in these last days in the house of Yahweh is our heads, and the Kohans, the judges, and the overseer of the house of Yahweh. That is our higher authority. And it also says to have a hearing heart is to have discernment or understanding. And the only way that you can get discernment and understanding is to listen intelligently, take notes, pay attention, read word for word what the overseer has been bringing out in publications, in speaking, in the videos, in everything that he has brought out to bring forth these prophecies in this last day. Now, could I have my next one, please? Now, what I had done here is this is a list of important dates that we need to pay attention to in these last days. Now, these dates are dates that have taken place of that pertaining to the peace treaty. And as you can see on the paper, I'll have to point at the paper, it says right here, the dates that are circled and underlined are the dates that we need to pay attention to. 12/7/2018 was the last time that President Trump signed the waiver pertaining to the peace treaty, the Jerusalem Embassy Act. Now, this waiver allows the president to decide whether to suspend the Jerusalem Embassy Act for 6 months. December 7th, 2018 was the last time that the president signed that waiver. If you could show the waiver, please. Now, why is this so important? Because the next date was 3/4/2019. March 4th, 2019. That is the day that the consulate, the Palestinian consulate, was closed and was included into the embassy, the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, which was opened on May 4th, 2018. Okay, 2018 was when the embassy was opened. 3/2019 was when the consulate was closed. That is also the building that the ambassador chose as his residence in Jerusalem, fulfilling the Jerusalem Act so that that waiver does not need to be signed again. And on 5/8/2019, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo notifies Congress that no more presidential waivers will be required, deferring the implementation of the 1995 Jerusalem Embassy Act. The last waiver signed by President Trump expired on 6/7/2019. The overseer is going to be bringing more information on that. That is the start of these last 3.5 days. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. So today I brought with me a compass, and I want this to be engraved in our minds for the rest of the Sabbath, what a compass means to us. So a compass, here's if you want to write down a few definitions real quick. One is to contrive to accomplish, which means to devise, plan with skill. And another is an instrument for determining direction. And the last one I want, last definition, is an instrument for describing circles or transferring measurements that consists of a two-point of a two pointed branches joined at the top by a pivot. So I want to show this other compass that we have. And it's interesting that they mentioned that these two things are branches and they're two joined together by a pivot. Kind of reminds us of Zechariah chapter 4. So in the Holy Scriptures, Yahweh lays out his plans before heaven and earth, a plan of life by righteousness and death by destruction, or death by sin. And he tells us the results of sin and not living by Yahweh, which is not living by Yahweh's laws, that brings this death and destruction. So I found this article online. It's from voanews.com, and it says that Trump promises bigger Pentagon budgets coming. And it says in the article, U.S. President Donald Trump might not be done building up the country's military, as if it wasn't already big enough, right? So we had a budget approved when I first came in, billions and billions of dollars, more than it was previously, Trump said. Then I went to $716 billion. And then I have, the article is there for you, voanews.com. Now, sin is at its peak. And like I said, Yahweh sets before us life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. So our nations are, and the leaders of the nations are so gung-ho about this might and this power that even after a third of the people die around the fourth part of the earth, they still won't repent of the things that they're doing right now. So as foretold by Yahweh's prophets and his inspired prophets, the only being to tell the end from the beginning, Yahweh gives us the numbering system called the Gematria to back up the prophecies and scriptures. So what's interesting is, Yahweh gives us directions. He tells us all throughout the scriptures what directions to take, right? So in Matithiah chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And what's interesting in the Gematria, when you put in, "but seek you first the kingdom," it comes out to 322. And let me remind you, the 322 is the car tag on the Last Days Witnesses car, which was only invented in the Last Days generation when the increase in knowledge was. So then I was like, okay, so where is the kingdom of Yahweh established? And then I put that in, and there's three numbers that come up. And these are really interesting because it leads us to different things. So the first number that is on where is the kingdom of Yahweh established is 388. And it's from the number 386, which means specifically a chieftain. So then I'm like, okay, so who is the chief? Who is the chief? And tell me why it's overseer's date of birth. So 828. And then the next number for where is the kingdom of Yahweh established is 2328. And that means a compass. So I said, what compass? Well, Yahweh put it in my mind to put what compass. And tell me why again the number came out to 828. The overseer's date of birth. So then the last number for the where is the kingdom of Yahweh established is 3072. And 3072, of course, is Yahweh Sirkenu. And when you put Yahweh Sirkenu in the Gematria, it comes out to 1074, which is overseer's other car tag. How amazing is that? Now, this is super awesome as well. When he is, Yahweh inspired me to put, he is our compass to the kingdom. And guess what number came out? 322. It's absolutely amazing how Yahweh inspires these things to put it in the Gematria. And come on, but to seek you first the kingdom and its overseer's car tag, he is our compass into the kingdom. He points us in the direction that we need to take in order to choose life and the steps that we need to take to get there. And then the other one, the definition of an instrument for, the definition of compass is It consists of two pointed branches. The two witnesses who stand for the supreme ruler of the earth. So I hope that you remember, when you see a compass, just remember who our compass is. The overseer, the last day's anointed witness. And if you would all please stand. Yahweh bless your Sabbath. Now we'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Let the peace of Yahweh be with all of us today. Please be seated. Be strengthened by he who rules as Yahweh. Satan has deceived the whole world, as written in Revelation 12:9. Satan has weakened the nations, as written in Isaiah 14:12. You may ask how or why? In Psalm 106, verse 43 on page 478, it says, "Many times he delivered them, but they provoked him." Well, they thought to provoke him with their purposes. So they were weakened for their iniquity. They are weakened for their own purposes. Iniquity is a perversion of the truth. It's pushing away the laws of Yahweh. That is what has weakened the nations, and that's how Satan has deceived the whole world. Satan taught Eve to be evil as the gods. Then, just as Satan, through her evil vice, the Catholic Church teaches to be evil as the gods, to forsake Yahweh's laws now. Her agenda is the same then as now. In the end book, this book right here, written by the great overseer 21 years ago, on page 193, there's a paragraph. And 21 years ago when I read this, I was like so amazed because I had to have it up on my I wrote it on a huge piece of paper and I stuck it to my door so every time the children ran up or down the stairs, they had to see this here paragraph. Before I get to that, I'll just lay down a foundation here. History shows, and this is reading from page 193 of the end book, history shows that mankind has split into many different religions. This did not occur because of the written laws of the prophets. These laws bring unity, not separation. Separation developed because religious imposters, Catholic Church, desired to build empires for themselves, Catholic Church, such as the Nimrod system. These religious imposters, Catholic Church, turned the people from the laws of the prophets with their false teachings. This is still occurring today to the Catholic Church. History has shown also that along with the separation resulting from the rejection of the complete laws of Yahweh came the attempt to bring peace through force. And that's where we are today, peace through force. Now, could I have that on the overhead, please, that slide? Please follow along and read this as I read it also out loud. Remember, it's the publishing and the preaching of the message. The curses came, and this is the great overseer wrote this. I'm telling you, he's the greatest teacher in the world. He's the only one that can bring salvation in these last days. Listen carefully to what he says here. The curses came just as the holy prophets said they would. These curses did not come without a cause. In fact, the longer the cause was present, the more severe the curses became until war erupted. War is not the cause of the curse. It is a symptom of the cause. War is not the answer to solving the curse. It only worsens the symptoms. The cause for the curses upon the world has always been the same: turning from and rejecting the 613 proven laws of peace brings curses. War is man's way of destroying an enemy that he created for himself by rejecting Yahweh's laws of peace. Okay? War is man's way of destroying an enemy that he created for himself by rejecting Yahweh's laws of peace. Satan has weakened the nations. Satan has deceived the whole world into thinking you can have peace without the laws of peace. It's a lie. So, 21 years ago, the overseer wrote this. And in the front here, it says, a witness to all the world. Truth is not weakened by time. Truth, which is the laws of Yahweh, stands forever. So we know that the weak nations were weakened, but let's go back to the title of this speech. Be strengthened by he who rules as Yahweh. Can I have my next slide, please? So who is the one ruling as Yahweh? We see here the numbers, but I want you to focus on that 18:18, and we'll see that that 18:18, if you look at the next slide, goes to Deuteronomy 18:18. And that says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And when you turn over to Acts 3:22, it restates that prophecy. For Moshe said, Yahweh your father will raise up for you a prophet like me. Him you will hear in all things. Now notice, Acts 3:22, that was no coincidence. Yahweh put that in there so that it would identify who we're talking about here. The great overseer, that is his tag number. And let's go on to the next gematria. I also put in, who is the one that rules as Yahweh? And right there we'll see his tag number again, 322. Now, in the book of memory that Yahweh has, it's an eternal memory, and he gave all of us a number. Only thing is, he gave us pastor's number in advance, numbers in advance, so that we could identify him. It only belongs to him. A tag number only belongs to the one who owns it. So 322 and 1074 belong to our great overseer, the last day's anointed witness in these last days. And let us be reminded of what those numbers mean. It shows where he would be. The 322 says the western or the hinder part, the one behind, coming behind the western part. And it also means to his what he's supposed to do. It means to show clearly, to appoint to a position of service. And it shows in 1074 that it's this last generation, and also his position and his job to do is bring forth the first fruits of Yahweh. That 3169 means befitting greatness and magnificence, strong, and in the Hebrew it means Yahweh has strengthened. The only way, sisters, that we can be strengthened is to walk with the great overseer in the laws of Yahweh. At this time, I turn it over to our next teacher.
Please be seated. Okay, the title of my speech today is We're Being Set Up. So just in case you didn't know it, we are being set up. And I'd like to show you a picture. For those of you who don't live in Abilene, this is what you see at the airport area when you're entering into Abilene. How many of you locals have seen that? Raise, great, everybody. Okay, you notice what symbol that is, that little animal there? Shout it out. It's a buffalo. Yahweh set this up from the beginning. Do you think Pastor Israel Hawkins went to the City of Commerce and said, you know, I think we should put a buffalo there when people are coming into Abilene so they'll know that the house of Yahweh's here and the land of the buffalo? Nope. This was all done and inspired by Yahweh. Yahweh inspires all of these things. We're being set up. Everything's set up in advance to show that this is the place, okay? So I decided, you know, I was like, well, you know, I wonder, well, Yahweh inspired me to put in Abilene, Texas in the gematria. So I put in Abilene, Texas, and these three numbers came up, 117, 578, and 702. And I want to focus, if you'll look at the next one here, I want to focus on those first two numbers. 117 comes from Hebrew 117 comes from Hebrew 1:4-2, and it means to expand. That is, to be great or magnificent, to become glorious or honorable. Abilene? It also means to groan. That word 578, which was the second one when I of the gematria, to groan, lament, and mourn. How many of you remember from the house of Yahweh established what the word Abel means? To mourn. Yahweh could not have done it any clearer. When you put in Abilene, Texas, he shows you Abel. He shows you Abel. Yahweh knew that we were going to be here. He set all of this up in advance. So I thought, let's just put in Abilene, because when I called the overseer, he said, huh, well, what makes Abilene great? And I said, we do. And he said, yes. And so then Yahweh inspired me to put in Abilene, Texas. In Abilene, Texas is word numbers 112, 573, and 672. Those words, those numbers 112, 573, and 672. So as you can see on the next slide, Yahweh didn't let us down there either. Number 112 means an Israelite, which we can say a Yisraelite, right? And number 573 means veracious. And if any of you don't know what that word means, it means exact, accurate, and true. It's contracted from Hebrew word number 539, which means stability, certainty, truth, trustworthiness, assured, establishment. We're being set up, establishment, faithful, right, sure, and true. And that next number, number 672 in the Hebrew, means fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And it comes from Hebrew number 6509, which means to bear fruit, to bear or bring forth, to cause, to make fruitful, to grow, or to increase. Do you see how Abilene and Abilene, Texas, both mean to be fruitful and increase? You have to come to Abilene to make it to Abilene, don't you? And our pastor has said on multiple occasions that pretty soon we're going to own all of Abilene. Because if they don't convert, they're going to just want to leave, right? Remember, just like the unbelieving mate in 1 Corinthians, if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave, right? Okay, so I want to show you some little things, little tidbits that Yahweh shows us to show that we're being set up. And I'd like to show the next slide here. And this is loop 322. And for those of you who are not familiar with Abilene, Texas, this is a loop. And I know the Kahans have been bringing this out about loop 322, but it's actually a loop that takes you around the city of Abilene, okay? And you get on it over there by the airport where you see the buffalo. And it's also, as you can see on the slide, pastor's tag number, one of his tag numbers. Now look at the meanings there. Look at the meanings. The west, that's the Hebrew, and in the Greek it means to appoint. So you can see Yahweh setting us up again. We are being set up. You see it? He is setting us up in this time period. He's showing us what we're doing in the right place. We're doing it, okay? Now, I was driving down the road in Abilene. I don't go to Abilene very often, but when I'm there, you know, I saw the buffalo, and that's really when Yahweh started kind of inspiring me here on this speech. I saw the buffalo when I was by the airport, and then I hit a Buffalo Gap Road. You all know that road that live in Abilene. There's a major road. It's called Buffalo Gap Road. So I thought, Yahweh inspired me again. Put Buffalo Gap in the gematria. So I did. And this is what came up. Numbers 522, 353, and 87. You'll never guess what these numbers mean in the Hebrew. So in the Hebrew, 522 means the same as Hebrew 520. A mother, that is a unit of measure from 517. A mother as the bond of a family. The mother, the house of Yahweh. That other number there that came up for Buffalo Gap was 353. And in the Hebrew, it means strong, strength. from 553, which means to be alert, confirm, courageous, establish. We're being set up, established, increase. Remember the increase, Abilene and Abilene? We're going to increase from here. We're going to be fruitful, prevail. And the last number was number 87. In the Hebrew, that means High Father. Well, we all know who the High Father is in this time period. And for the last thing that Yahweh just shows us and confirms that this is the place he's setting us up, I wanted to show you the American Eagle, because we know that the witness went all around from nation to nation on the wings of a great eagle. And we learned the other night in class that the two wings of an eagle, the American Eagle airline, right here in Abilene, took our great witness to witness to all nations. So you can see, we're being set up, and Yahweh's the one setting us up. So if you'll all please stand. To further our great meal today, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom. That was a setup, by the way. Okay? This time we get to hear from the great deacon, Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. We have a lot of great stuff coming out in the codes right now. I'm going to go into, interestingly enough, the great women of New brought out a number in one of the gematrias of 1610. Well, in 1610 and 1611 is when the King James Version was finished and published. And the words that she had there for it was, you are to seek Yahweh's house in these last days. And so I thought that was interesting. 1610 being the King James Version, we had to have the Bible available. The book of Yahweh could come from that. So we have a lot of stuff coming out in the codes, and just a little bit of history on the codes. The gematria and the codes are vastly different. The gematria deals with numbers from the letters, and then the numbers correspond with the Strong's numbers. Well, the codes, the hidden codes, are hidden words that are in the Hebrew text. Now, I have another program that actually does the new version, the new quote-unquote erroneously called New Testament or Volume 2, and it also does English. And I found pastor's name in there also. I haven't really dug into that program yet, but there was a story in the late 80s where one of the rabbi instructors, teachers at one of the colleges told the students that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, is the entire history of, he said, the nation of Israel, but we know it's the entire history of the house of Yahweh, is encoded and in Deuteronomy 32. Well, one of his students challenged him, and he said, he was telling the students that everybody is in the scriptures. And while this young student, as pastor would call him, a young whippersnapper, challenged him, and he had already kind of looked things out, and he told him, go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 26, and look at every third letter. And so the student pulled out the Hebrew, and he's looking, and his mouth hit the table, because encoded in Deuteronomy 32, 26, every third letter was his name. So he stayed with that teacher throughout his history, but everybody in the house of Yahweh is in the codes, everybody's history. I can't tell you how many people's names, men and women, I've seen in the codes with every single search. There may be one. There's been as many as 15. And the names are indigenous for us in these last days. They aren't like the old versions of certain Hebrew names. There are names which are pretty much correspond with the last days. So everybody's in there. Everybody's history is in there. The entire history of all creation and all the beings ever created are hidden in the codes. And we have some code searches coming up in the near future, Yahweh, if Yahweh is willing. One on Philadelphia, one on the first sons of Yahweh, and one on Hillel and Satan, to see what Yahweh has in there about her. But right now we're going to deal with, I have one to show, and I'm going to give you a little taste of the next one, which is the Catholic religion. We did one on that. But this is U.S. and Iran. Okay, these are some headlines. And this has all started pretty much in the last 3.5 years, except for this first one. U.S. drops nuclear deal, starts sanctions. Iran restarts nuclear program. Trouble begins in the Strait of Hormuz. Oil prices begin to rise over tensions. Britain seizes Iranian ship. Iran seizes two United Kingdom ships, Britain ships. Tensions are rising. Russia accuses U.S. of provoking war with Iran. U.S. troops and battle fleets being moved to the Middle East. So let's turn over to Revelation 13, and we're going to move rather quickly. Revelation 13, and in verse 5 it reads, and this is found on page 979, verse 5 it says, "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to make war for 42 moons, or 3.5 years. Let's turn over to Yekechia 7. I'll get a page number for you here momentarily. Yekechia 7. And we're going to be looking at verses 2, 6, and 7, and 25. Verse 2 in chapter 7 says, "Also, son of man, this is what Father Yahweh says to the land of Israel. An end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land." Let's look down to verse 6. "An end has come. The end has come. It has awakened for you. Behold, it has come." Verse 7. "The turn of events has come upon you, O you who dwell in the land. The time has come. The day of trouble is near. And soon no commanding voice from on high." Prophetic guidance. Remember the witness Jacob. He preached for 7 years. Yahweh pleaded with them. And then the waters dried up there as he poured his bowl on that area. The sixth Malach. No prophetic guidance. In other words, Yahweh gave him the opportunity to pull it. Let's look at verse 25. And it says, "Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there will be none." Zero. Let's look over at the codes now. So this code search is called U.S.-Iran. And what we have, let's see. I'm trying to figure out a better way to do this. Okay. So your main is right here, and it's U.S.A.-Iran. All right. U.S.A.-Iran. Then crossing it right here is Euphrates, which we know in and around the Euphrates River. Okay. Let's see. Then right here, this one came up, which was interesting, and it's, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly, Yad Vashem, which is Holocaust. The Holocaust Museum in Israel, showing that there's going to be another Holocaust in that area. Okay, then it starts getting really interesting here. We have right here, we have Universal, showing that the gods are involved, all the gods. We have war right here. Then down here we have woe. Now remember, universal gods, because they worship all the gods. They're worshiping all the gods. Universal means all gods. And that's what the world is doing at this time under the guidance and the authority of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church. The Catholic Church. Okay, so let's go back to the codes. I had to do that, sorry. Okay, so what we have next is... I lost my place. Okay. Let's see. Right here we have Yada. Yada, showing that the Catholic Church is behind all of this. Okay. Then we have... Let's see. I'm trying to move. Right here... We have force. Where's it at? Right here. Lost my place here. Oh. Force. Okay. Then after force, we have frightening. Frightening. Then this long one here is hopelessness. Hopelessness. Then we have invade. Invade. Okay, over here we have lying. Lying. And right here we have fire, great noise, showing that the nuclear war is coming. Fire, great noise. Then right here we have mourn, as to mourn, or mourning. Okay? Then right here we have 1 hour. The 1 hour destruction. Oh, sorry. 1 hour destruction. Then we have Tehran, which is the capital or the lead nation of Iran. We have scorched. Then we have sun darkened. Sun darkened. Okay, then over here we have begins 2019. Begins 2019. And closing it out. Let's see where we're at. Okay, we have right here. Salvation's near. And then the final one, if I can find it, is right here. As gods. And notice it's right above Yada. Yada as gods. So briefly, I just want to go over a little bit. Now remember, universal, because they worship all the gods of Egypt. Now, the next search is the Catholic religion. And there was so much stuff in there that I literally had to just start listing stuff because it would have covered the whole paper. And let me just give you a couple of things that came up. Of course, the main was Catholic religion. And of course, universal was in there. Then we had as God's evil, divining serpent was in there. CPS was in there. Molest, whorish 4 times, sorcery, thievery, woe, demons, and Roe Wade, 1973. And there's a whole lot more, and I think it's showing, there's some stuff in there that's showing. Remember, we can't tell the future, but as Pastor had said, the codes reveal things that have taken place in the past that nobody knows about. And Yahweh's showing us, and I believe he's going to show us things that they've done and things that Satan and the gods have done that will help us better understand why things have turned out the way they have. So, Yahweh bless your Sabbath. Have a great Sabbath day. Great feast day. And at this time, I have the blessing and opportunity to turn it over to a great holy man of new, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, great saints. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. And let's just go ahead and get right to it. I'm from Alaska. We don't make small talk. This is part 3 of the 1962-2019 season of calamity. Let's go ahead and show the first slide. I want to get right into a sermon Pastor gave last year on Isaac 27:9-18, titled, "The Seventh Work of Yahweh is Bringing in the Everlasting Righteousness in the Greatest Time of Trouble," which we're going to be talking about today. Notice the gematria on this, 1833 Damascus. Remember, these prophecies rest on Damascus, as Pastor started teaching us last year as well. And 1833 in the Greek means to test thoroughly out of necessity. In other words, this is something that must take place. Remember Revelation 13:10. And by these things are the patience of the saints tested. Hebrew 1998 means be troubled, to be troubled. Remember, the greatest time of trouble, Daniel 12:1. 1998 in the Greek means to hasten together upon one place to others already gathered. Now, where would that be? I think somebody just showed us the place that's been set up, right? Right here in Abilene is where they're going to be hasting. Hopefully, they'll be hasting here and no one will be running out of the house of Yahweh, right? Okay, Strong's 13:12 means, now it has a question mark. It says the Son of Peace, and it means smooth.
And I'm thinking that might be talking about the smooth flatterers that are bringing about this false peace. Greek 13:12 means destruction, and it means ruin, perish, destroy, utterly corrupt spiritual impurity, waste away by decaying influence of moral impurity, utterly corrupt, okay? Now, let's go to the next slide and show the quote from that sermon that I just read the title of. Pastor said, keep this in mind. Yahweh made the earth, remember, for mankind. He made these straits and passageways, and he made it possible for them to make ones of their own. Talking about the straits like Hormuz and Kerch and these other straits. These must be shared. In today's world, there's no sharing. It's all me, myself, and I. The only place you find anything like sharing properly, righteously, is the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You put that statement in exactly like he said it, and you'll see 3222. Remember, you can drop that third two if you want to, because it's alluding to his tag, 322, which we saw also earlier today. And 3222 means season, time, times, end, trouble. Okay? And have you noticed all the trouble in the straits that we're having? Ukraine, just 2 days ago. Pastor, this is the one he was talking about in 2018, but just 2 days ago, Ukraine captures Russian tanker involved in Kerch, involved in Kerch Strait confrontation. Okay, that was from 2 days ago. In the Kerch Strait, remember the Sea of Azov is where that Kerch Strait runs, right by the Ukraine there. Can I have my next slide? Let's see another strait they're having a lot of trouble in, the Strait of Hormuz. And look at these dates on this map, 613, 512, 610. Isn't that Pentecost? Wow. And then 719. Stay tuned for that. We'll get to that later. Not in this sermon, but later. Can I have my next slide? Then we had, just 2 days ago, U.S. warship sails through strategic Taiwan Strait. You know, provoking the Chinese over Taiwan. This ship here called the USS Antietam. Notice the gematria, 666 and 852, which 852 means a sign. It's a sign, okay? Remember, Yahweh's bringing forth the sign that he's with this house right here. Dire straits. You know, dire straits means, you know, trouble in the straits, or, you know, great trouble, great distress. Can I have my next slide? Now, remember the ship that Pastor saw, the RFS Admiral Gorshkov FFG 454? You put in that FFG 454 and you get the tag of this serpent here pointing at his Jeep Wrangler. Remember the Wrangler that he drove when he was in D.C.? Because he is a Wrangler. He's a disputer. He's an arguer, and he argues with Abel. Okay? Of course, there's no argument, right? There's no without controversy, right? Without controversy, as Tamiah said, you know, this is the pillar and ground of the truth. There's no argument. Now, I want you to notice Daniel 12:1. He said, and this is from the interlinear, he said, there will be a time of trouble. You know, Micaiah will stand up and there will be a time of trouble. That word trouble is 6869. And look at the word there. Straits. Straits. Huh. Did we even know what a strait was until Pastor got up here last year and told us about it? And he straightened us out on it? Can I have my next slide? And Daniel said, at that time, your people will be delivered. Look at that 454, at that time. Remember, 454 means toward Yahweh are my eyes. And remember, Zechariah 9:1 said, all the tribes of Israel and all of men's eyes are upon this house right now in this world. Okay? You can believe that. Okay? And that's called the prophecy of doom against the land of Hadrach and Damascus. Notice you get 454 again, the number on the ship. The eyes of men and tribes of Israel upon Yahweh, 454 again. Remember, that ship was looking at Yahweh, remember? On 624, the men were up there working and the eyes were on Yahweh, wanting to destroy the house of Yahweh. Notice folly, madness, foolishness, no mind, irrational behavior, lack of sense. A state of extreme anger that suggests an incapacity to use your mind, extreme fury, great rage. This is satanic here. Okay? Can I have my next slide? Because we're going to look at that time, the second number, 702, it means four. It's also 454, used in Ezra 2:15, the number 454. You can look in Strong's, it uses that number. 702 means an Arabian king, king of the Nabataeans who ruled in Damascus. Well, who are the Nabataeans? Well, the firstborn son of Ishmael was named Nebaioth. His people, and they associate him with that general Muhammad of the Arabs, 666. Notice that number 394, I didn't put it here, but it means to be cruel, to be fierce. Okay? The third number, 117, means lordly, masters, mighty. Remember the quartet? The quartet, the four generals that came from Alexander, the Grecian Empire, that went throughout the earth, became the Roman Empire, etc., right? Down to this day, the quartet that pastors taught us about. There's nobody else that taught us about this quartet. We wouldn't have known what to look for. The EU, the US, Russia, and who else? The UN? And it means, Strong's Greek 117 means Athenian of Greece, of Greece. Just remember those four generals from Alexander the Great. Can I have my next slide? Now, in this quote, this is from the first book of Israel, chapter 3, which I know some people are doing some studying in right now, right? It says, at that time, your people will be delivered. That is, Yahweh will safely protect them. Everyone who's found written in the book of life, you can count on that. You must trust in it, and you should trust in it because all the other prophecies have taken place, just as Yahweh said in detail. You should be able to trust that one too. Now, are the people of Daniel, 1074, okay? We're the people of Daniel. Remember when you put in Daniel, Eob, and Noah, it comes up 1074. Those three that were in it, it said, and Yeketzkeh 14, though these three were in it. Remember, he's tagged with us. All of them are tagged with us. Okay, now Strong's 3271 means to cover or covered. The next number you see is a 1962. Drop that six off the end. Remember, 1962 was the season of calamity. Remember, they were getting ready to go to nuclear war at that time. It was also the time that Israel stood up with his brother, but also the Catholic Church established a see right here in San Angelo to oversee, to watch, you know, and try to destroy the house of Yahweh at that time. Strong's 2347 means to cover, spare, spared. Now, when you think of covering, I want you to think of this ark right here. You see these two witnesses. 2347 in Greek means tribulation, straits, trouble, pressure. Okay? From 2346, to be narrow, straitened, distressed, suffer affliction. From 2302, a beaten tracker path, the road of faith, to thresh out. Right? Remember, we're being beat, what is it, through the sieve 13 times. Only the finest is going to come out, right? The finest, the choicest, the best. I think that's in Ezekiel 44. When you add up all these numbers in this gematria, it means the roar of a lion, to roar mightily. And you drop the zero off 7580, and it's Syria. Syria. Remember, the prophecies rest on Damascus. Can I have my next slide? Okay, this is from the first book of Israel, chapter 3 again. And the title, it says, the title of this chapter is, the clock will start ticking off the last 3.5 years called the end number 2. Years of secret negotiations by the quartet and the Pope have led to what we will see next in prophecy, giving the holy city to the Pope. Notice, 2020. 2020 means deliverance, rescued, to be spared, surely delivered, to separate. 2020 in the Greek means to give light, to illuminate, to shine forth. Remember, the teachers are going to shine. That's why you're studying right now. You're getting ready to shine forth as the heavens. Strong's Hebrew 12:12 means under the shadow protection of Yahweh. Strong's Greek 12:12 means clearly evident, plainly evident, manifest, unmistakable. Yes, the world is going to see. We're going to be lifted up through these signs that Yahweh is showing, and the whole world is going to be very evident, manifest, who the sons and daughters of Yahweh are at this time. Strong's Hebrew 1332 means daughter or worshiper of Yahweh. Okay? That's all in that title right there. And we'll get to that another time. Can I have my next slide? When you add up all those numbers, you get 4564, and it means to hide, to conceal, cover, hidden, undetected, secret things. Remember, we've been hidden. We've been protected in these last days. Strong's Greek 4564 means Sarah, and it's from 8283, princess. And it goes to female, princess, queen, to 8269, chief. We heard about a chief this morning, right? Chief, ruler, official, captain, prince, commander, leader, overseer. Okay? You know who that is, right? He's the captain, Captain Israel, of the Ark of Yahweh. You see that? Captain Israel, the Ark of Yahweh, 1962. Because that's when he began to start preaching. That number 2796... means a stirring. Remember that trumpet that stirs us up, gets us motivated? You know how he gets you motivated when he speaks? A stirring, moving, a stirring up, but a righteous stirring up, because there's somebody else stirring up trouble. By the way, did you know today's 727 and it means chest, ark, from 717 to gather? Can I have my next slide? Okay, so when you put in start, clock started ticking off last 3.5 years, look at the number. It's the number on the ship that Pastor saw. Okay? And if you go from the day the sermon was given to the day he saw it, it means disturbance, trouble, to stir up, brought trouble to roil the water, to roil the water, to stir up the water, to stir in a troubler. If you go from the day he gave this sermon to 724, when that Taiwan ship went through that strait, it's 5941 days, and it means to stir up. Remember, they're stirring up the nations. They're stirring up, they're provoking the nations to anger, okay? And there's going to be a big war. Notice, troublers spoken of by Daniel the prophet, 454. They represent that ship right there, and I'm going to show you the captain of that ship. He's a troubler. Troubler, 666. He's a troubler. Let's find out who he is. Can I have my next slide? Now, you remember Jezebel and Ahab, right? 666. 1 Kings 18:17. When Ahab saw Yisrael Hawkins, Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" But Israel answered, "I have not troubled Israel, you or your father's house. You have troubled Israel because you have forsaken the laws of Yahweh and you have followed the Baalim, lords, gods, Elohim, and goddesses." Hey, put in that followed the Baalim, lords, gods, Elohim, and goddesses and look at the number on the ship. 454. Now, remember in 1 Kings 18:19, he was told, Ilya said, "Summon and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, as well as the 450 prophets of Baal, the Lord, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, Easter, or Ishtar, who eat at the table of Jezebel or Baalzebel." Drop the zero off the 450, and then drop the two zeros off the 400, and you see the number? 454. Yes, that's who this represents. It's Captain Ahab. Can we have the next slide? Captain Ahab. Y'all remember Moby Dick? Okay, well, let's learn about this because Hollywood knows something about this, don't they? Captain Ahab, if you remember, he's a fictional character, a one-legged captain of a whaling vessel, the Pequod, in the novel Moby Dick, written back in 1851 by Herman Melville. From the time that his leg is bitten off by the huge white whale, the great white whale, you know, the great white buffalo, called Moby Dick, Captain Ahab monomaniacally pursues. Remember that gematria that it showed continuous pursuit, that ship, how it's continuously pursuing Yisrael Hawkins and the house of Yahweh to destroy it? Yeah, that's Captain Ahab. Now notice, Captain Ahab monomaniacally pursues his elusive nemesis. Ahab's obsession with killing Moby Dick brings about his own death, as well as those, all but one of his crew members, Ishmael, the novel's narrator. You know, when he wrote this novel, he used the three Abrahamic faiths as allegories in the story. Captain Ahab was the evil king of Israel. Remember that evil king who married Jezebel? Well, let's go further. We'll see. This next slide, we'll get back to Ahab here in a minute. This next slide, this is the first book of Israel, chapter 25, because we're going to talk about the land clothed in linen. We'll go back to Ahab. Pastor says in 25, verse 17, verse 6, he says, "And one said to the man clothed in linen," see, he's speaking to a single man clothed in linen, "on that future day teaching, how long will it be to the end of these wonders?" How long? I don't think that question was ever asked back then, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we were bringing some of these things out, but coming down to the end, we really did not know. We knew there would be an end, but we didn't have all these prophecies put together at that time as we have today. And remember, Daniel wasn't speaking to Jacob. He was speaking to Israel. He was speaking to Israel Hawkins, the man clothed in linen. When you put in this statement here that Pastor made, it comes up to 4427, and it means Moloch. Moloch. And it's Greek 4427, and it means to fly. To fly. Oh, imagine that. Didn't we just see the American Eagle that's parked over there at the Abilene Regional Airport? Also, he's a traveling lamp. He flies in the heavens. Remember the Hotbird satellite, 1074, Pastor's tag? And also 603, the very street that the Ten Commandments are on over there? Can I have my next slide? Now, that's in chapter 3, verse 61. Put in chapter 3, verse 61, it comes out to 1962. Pastor also says in that verse 61, "One said to the man clothed in linen." How many people do you know who actually wear pure linen today, he asked. Pure linen today, 1074. He's actually wearing pure linen, 1962 and 2358, which means white in the Hebrew and to overcome in the Greek. Remember the white robe of humility, right? The pure linen. Can I have my next slide? The pure linen is the righteousness of the saints. He is actually wearing pure linen. Add those two numbers, you get 4320. And notice, 4320 is Micaiah. Micaiah, who is like Yahweh? Didn't Daniel say at that time, the greatest time of trouble, that Micaiah will stand up? Did he not say that? Now, you remember evil Ahab, right? You know what he said about this man? In 1 Kings 22:8, here's exactly what he said. "There remains one." Remember, he had all the prophets of Baal, and he said, "Should we go to war or should we not?" And then Jehoshaphat, the smart king, says, "Don't you have a prophet of Yahweh here that we can inquire of?" And Ahab said, "There remains one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything fit about me, only evil always. Micaiah, who is like Yahweh, the son of Imlah." You see the tag? Yeah, that's Pastor, 1074. Yeah, woo! Yeah, Micaiah, who is like Yahweh, stood, 322. The man clothed in linen, Abilene, Texas, 322. Is there any doubt, House of Yahweh? All right, praise Yahweh. Well, at this time, it's been a great pleasure and opportunity. Hey, Captain Ahab's ship's going down, but this ship ain't going down. Praise Yahweh for that. All glory and honor to Yahweh. At this time, I'd like to turn it over now to another one of my co-workers and great priest, the great Gahan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. Turn to page 591. We're going to look at Jeremiah 23, verse 6. If you have a Bible, it's Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. It's on page 591 in your book of Yahweh. "In his day, Yada will be saved." Now, we heard a lot about Yada getting into a lot of trouble. "And Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them: Yahweh Zidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness." In light of what you just heard, I guess it was intended that this scripture be brought out. The word yada that is written in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word yada. This word is listed on page 397 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means, I will praise Yahweh. Now, here's the big one. The word Israel that is written in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word Yisrael. This word is listed on page 360 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word emphatically means Yisrael, the proper name of a man and a people. Now, guess who that is? The word dwell that is written in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word yashikan. This word is listed on page 1575 of volume 2 of the Hebrew-Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which says this word means, may he who caused his name to dwell in this house let dwell among you love and brotherhood, or Yahweh revealed himself. The word safely that is written in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word levatak. This word is listed on page 55 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Alexander Harkavy, which shows this word means to trust, to rely on, to cause to rely. The word proclaim that is written in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word yakaru. This word is listed on page 1409 and 1418 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to call, to teach, and able. So this is what Jeremiah 23, verse 6 is saying. In his days, those who reverence Yahweh will be saved. For Israel and his people are the house of Yahweh, in whom they trust. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them at Abel, that he will teach them at Abel. Yahweh Zadokanu, there's Zadok in there, means righteousness. Yahweh, our righteousness. Remember, brothers and sisters, the teacher said, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Reverence Yahweh by keeping all of his laws, for this is the duty of every human being on earth. And remember, Yahweh said that if Yeshua walks in this building and you're here, or if it occurs your life has gone in the past and you have been laid to rest, when you're resurrected, the books will be opened. And if the books say you were right with Yahweh all the way, you will be one of the house of Yahweh that will be saved, just as it says here. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the service over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Be seated. Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Of course, going through the news, keep in mind everything that's been brought about these straits, because we'll speak about those, these straits, these waterways, which allow entry into countries and business and commerce. Because Pastor told us months ago, watch these straits, watch what takes place in these straits. But he's also told us to think about the other prophecies coming in the past. And of course, this depopulation is something that has come up and has been talked about. And it's something that, notice the Vatican has said, would have to take place. They call it climate change. But we see they bring up doctors and pharmacies, and they're showing how it's coming out in the news, something Pastor's been bringing for years. He received much ridicule about bringing these things for years, but now science is catching up, the society is catching up, because now they're taking a stand to where they're showing that doctors and pharmacies, pharmaceutical companies actually manipulated doctors, and they did this through money. We'll pay you to prescribe our drugs. It was a bribe, so to speak, making money off of doing something that was not beneficial. And it showed where they kind of sanctioned off a piece of land here known as Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky, and they dumped millions of pills just in that area alone. And if you remember, we brought in the news, the opioid epidemic was so bad in Ohio they actually had to bring freezers outside the morgues because the morgues were so full of these opioid deaths, they had to store them in freezers outside of the morgues. But the notice they said it was all done for profit. That's the reason these drugs are prescribed. It's all for profit, not for health. And you'll see one of the men actually say there's more money in death than there is life. People will pay vast amounts of money. And they talk about cancer treatment, $7,000 a month. They'll tell you they'll cure you with hepatitis. If you have hepatitis C, we'll cure you is what they say for $70,000 and no guarantees. And then they talk about the insulin for people that have to take insulin because of things that have taken place in their bodies. And they talk about how 10 years ago it was $175, which was extremely expensive. Today it's $1,487, but it only cost a dollar to make. So think about that. You know, there's an acquaintance I have in Abilene that was speaking to me one day, and he owns a funeral home. And I asked him, I said, and it's kind of rude to ask people how much product costs, but I was really interested. And I said, what is your most profitable thing in the funeral home? He said, coffins. I said, how much do you sell a coffin for? He goes, I sell them anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 a piece. How much do they cost? About $400. And that blew me away. He said, people don't bat an eye because their loved ones need to be put in this. And, you know, you could see it, and I didn't kind of tell him the disgust I had, but they make money off of death. But it's what they're trained to do, and it's a manipulation that we see. Well, with all these things taking place, with the drug addictions and all these things moving forward, and a lot of the population dying for profit, keep in mind, for profit, we have these straits. And I want to show you some headlines just from this last week. And you'll see here, Ukraine seizes Russian tanker alleged blocking its ships in the Kerch Strait. And then you have, of course, the U.S. ship sails through Taiwan Strait after threat of force from China against independence. And then you have Iran seize British tanker in Strait of Hormuz. And of course, Strait of Hormuz is more talked about than any other due to the oil. But China actually coming out saying that if force is necessary, they will use force. And this is from a deal, an arms deal, where the United States sold Taiwan over $2 billion in weaponry. And China is saying that Taiwan is part of us. You have no right to sell them weapons or even meet with them because the president of Taiwan came to Washington, D.C., which also angered China. And you're going to see a representative testify before Congress that they feel China is more of a danger to the United States than Russia. But they put them together, Russia and China. Remember what Malachi Martin brought out, and remember what Pastor's been saying for years, that in the end we're going to see three people vying for this top spot. You have the Vatican, you have Russia and China, and then of course you'll have the United States. And then it shows the United States also preparing for war, and it shows how in this Strait of Hormuz, the defense secretary from Iran is saying we were minutes away from going to war. But you're also going to see the United States preparing in and around the Great River Euphrates and an air base that they've always used when they go in to make attacks, and they did it when they attacked Iraq. There's an air base in Saudi Arabia that holds, they say, endless amounts of aircraft. And they can bring in supplies through the Red Sea where they don't have to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. So they're coming up to this side of Saudi Arabia where Iran is on this side. They come up through this side and channel them across the country of Saudi Arabia. Now also keeping in mind, Pastor said Syria. Watch Syria. Well, notice this week also, we can put this on the screen, Pope asked Assad for concrete initiatives on behalf of Syrian population. There was a letter that was hand-delivered by two cardinals to President Assad of Assyria, receiving instructions from the Vatican. But there was one article I think spelled it out best. If you want peace, prepare for nuclear war. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying that this nuclear war is going to bring peace. Of course, the Catholic Church doesn't want nuclear war. But pay close attention to the things that we're seeing that Pastor's been bringing, and it's all tying together, very well tying together, just as the prophet spoke of when the seventh Malach told each of them what would befall in these last days. If we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone will please stand, we see the nations preparing for war, and we see the house of Yahweh preparing to teach peace. And at this time, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher of peace here on this earth, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh! Praise Yahweh! Praise Yahweh!
Louder, 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 louder. Hey, so. Well, yours, all right. Please be seated. Always peace be with each and every one of you. The sermons this morning were really, really great, really uplifting, informative. I can't say enough for them. And the public is saying so too. I'll lay this out here for you to see while I'm speaking. You can get that number in there. Can everybody see that? Think of all that in the parking lot. We're going to have a rough time there. A few comments from our readers last week. I've got to get this in. The listeners last week says, so very thankful for the Sabbath. Our pastor Izzo Hawkins and all of you there at Abel. Love be with you from Yahweh. Sabbath shalom. I really like the speech on the great responsibility. That was really great, by the way. Kohan Richard, the spiritual food today was awesome and y'all amazing. And I think this other one is Jacob's son. He says, "Holy cow! Wow!" It means he's really, really excited about that. The services last week. The news. Keep in mind some things. Now, this U.S. definitely sends warship through Taiwan Strait. They checked it out. It did occur after China called it a regional security threat. They're saying that the United States is trying to stir up trouble. The United States is saying it's trying to keep control of rogue nations to keep them out of trouble. Kim Jong-un tours powerful submarine to be deployed east of North Korea's coast. There was very little attention given to this. On two reasons, I think. Number one is it won't be finished in time for the war. These wars, we've got 3.5 years left, and it's counting down. The wars that wipe out, as one of the ladies brought out this morning, one of the queens brought out, Kohana's, the in this time period, first you've got to understand that there's a third of the people have got to be killed over that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. That's the first wars. That is nuclear. That's the part that's nuclear there that takes place. It hasn't been so far. It started and Yahweh stopped it. It started to take place and Yahweh stopped it. That was Revelation 7. And then now it's going to be turned loose again, and they're calling the weapons tactical nuclear weapons. And this is shown, of course, in Revelation 9. The colors are the three colors that show you the mushroom cloud that I brought out in the Mark of the Beast and got you a picture there, and the colors and how this makeup looks
from Yahweh in heaven and here on earth also. This powerful submarine, you know, it won't be finished for quite a while. And these wars are going to start very, very soon. Yahweh, Yeshua wouldn't have told you to get in high gear and get to the house of Yahweh, the mountain of Yahweh, if this were not true. And he's put some urgency on you. All of you people out there that are listening and converting to Yahweh, you need to pay attention. You need to start making your way quickly. Don't let little things take your time away from it. Get to work on this and start getting ready to come to the house immediately. Britain now confirms it is developing drone swarms. Swarms of drones. Now, I know you've seen that in Hollywood. I've seen it when I was watching the news, and they'd be advertising a kind of a Star Wars show. I don't remember the name. I wasn't interested in it, but this makes me think of it, where these manless drones are going in swarms. In fact, there's some scriptures that back that up also and give some better descriptions of them than I've got time to do here this morning. U.S. destroys Iranian drone over Strait of Hormuz. Now, there's some controversy over that. We showed that on the news there just a few minutes ago. That's a great news program, too, that was put together for today. If you could remember all of this, or replay it in your mind, this would help. It would be even better if you could rehearse it. We're having some classes that I think are really necessary that you need to get involved in, that go over this, what the sermons and the news, to rehearse it in your mind. That will any little bit of rehearsal will help you to remember these things that Yahweh is bringing out, and get you acquainted with the prophecies, because the prophecies are going to be 100% accurate. They are 100% accurate. Not one of them will fail. The house of Yahweh is producing and spreading it all over the world to all nations, the peaceful solution that Yahweh offered in the beginning. And we have to prove this now because of the deception throughout the world, because the Christians are saying, you know, go on, go to battle, be evil as the gods, Jesus, their false God Jesus. Now, I know that they know this is false. You know, we brought out enough to prove that 10 times over, that the word Jesus, there was no J in the English language until 1600. Now, what was his name before that? Just think a little, you preachers out there. You know, you're bringing forth trash of no benefit. And if you think you're going to be evil and get raptured up, you know, you're fooling everybody. You're fooling all the people that are with you. It's going to be on the priests as well, the preachers. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, you need to read it. This burning is going to be upon you. You're not going to escape through some kind of rapture. It's not shown in Scripture. You're twisting the Scriptures. You're lying to the people. These lies that you're getting was started by the Catholic Church. That's Yada. Yada's spread all over the world now, you know. When I first came to Abilene, I ate a little at the Dixie Pig restaurant. And I found out right away that that Jews were everywhere here. They called them Jews, the Hebrew people. One owned the Dixie Pig restaurant. And I said, you know, I can't believe that a Hebrew would have a name of a business called the Dixie Pig. He said, he looked at me and looked at my badge, my uniform. He said, well, you know, that's what I thought of you. I can't believe that a Hebrew would be here dressed in a police uniform. But he told me, he said, they're everywhere. You know, we a lot of them here, and you'll get acquainted with him, he said. I said, you mean they break the law? And he said, no, I'm not talking about that. They'll look you up. They'll find you. Well, anyway, the plan that Yahweh has in the same time period, and this is what the great Kohan, Benjamin Krauss Hawkins, brought out, that we're running abreast of Satan's work, the work of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh has given Satan every advantage. You know, the book of Yahweh was the versions of it, took the name Yahweh out, took the name Yahshua out, and Acts 2 plainly says there's no other name under heaven except Yahshua, and that word Yahshua is there. It's also in Hebrews 4, and they translated it Joshua, but you can look up these translations. There was no J in the English language till 1600. You can't render it Joshua when there's no J. The J's were invented for deception, to bring forth these false gods of Constantine. Two gods, false. Now, if you're interested, we'd be glad to send you 100% proof on that. I brought it out in sermons. It's in the book of Israel. It's in black and white. You can hold me to it. Just like you can the book of Yahweh. I want you to be turning over to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. And all of you need to read that. Refresh it in your mind. Now, Hebrews 4 is where it shows Yahshua's name and that he kept the Sabbath according to commandment, taught it according to commandment. That's the fourth commandment, the seventh-day Sabbath. The seventh-day Sabbath is not the first day of the week. That's worship of the sun god Baal. That should be plain and simple. Yes, they changed it. The Catholic Church changed it. Hebrews, the tenth chapter. Now this is Yahshua here, in 10 and verse 21, shows that he's high priest over the house of Yahweh. And if you want to trace that back to the Hebrew, they have an interlinear. Interlinear? It's called the Hebrew-English interlinear. Almost all bookstores handle it. It's a big seller. It's very popular with scholars because of the word-to-word translation. Get you one and check it out, and check it out like Psalms. Psalms 23. Now, the King James Version says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Hebrew from that rendering is, "Yahweh is shepherd of me." Yahweh, and it plainly gives you the name. How to spell it in English, even. These things are not made up at the house of Yahweh. We just simply bring you the facts. Praise Yahweh. But look at verse 16. He says, "This is the covenant that I will renew with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." If you read that in Hebrew, you'll see the same thing there. You'll also see where it actually takes place, when the time period it takes place in our time period. This book right here in Hebrews, it was written, put in prison, kept for 1,500 years. It wasn't available until my parents were alive. It wasn't available in any form where a person would actually buy it and could bring it, carry it home. The first ones printed was 16 inches. I say that's about 16 inches tall, thick. The first Bibles, the first versions printed was about that thick. You couldn't carry that home in one hand. You might load it on your wagon and two people. It was a big, big book. When it got to the Bibles that we use, I should have brought you that edition that I have, the King James Version, but it's about that thick, and that's the one that got to our house, to my daddy and mother's house, on time to teach to me. And that's when the King James Bible, Yahweh brought it about, so I could be trained in it and be able to do a work of reaching the whole world with the book of Yahweh, because the book of Yahweh was prophesied to be here. All of that prophesied, that now it's shown in the gematria. That's the hidden codes that Yahweh put in the Hebrew language. But no Bible, no nothing, for 1,500 years. The Catholic Church had it held in prison, captive in prison, and wouldn't let it out. Finally, Yahweh brought it out, but he gave Satan all of this advantage. Brought it out mistranslated. And instead of saying Yahweh, it said God. Well, that's what Satan said in the beginning in Genesis 3, verse 5. No, don't pay any attention to Yahweh. Serve the gods. Evil. Be evil like the gods. Well, they took her at her word, and now they can't wait till they can get this war started, not knowing now that this is from Satan herself. Satan is framing up. She can't destroy Yahweh's work. She can't stop it. She's tried that already. She can't stop it. Yeshua said, "Your gates of hell, Satan, won't prevail this time." Yahweh's guarding his house this time. You can't come in this time and destroy Yahweh's work. That's the promises he puts in black and white to you. Now, Satan, on the other hand, Yeshua said, "Now, Satan, if you can destroy heaven and earth, or the earth and the heavens that involve the earth," and I'm going to try to read you something from, if I get time, from biology. Biology is a subject I love. I would have majored in biology, but I wanted to major in scripture, so I couldn't major in both of them. So I had to give up one. But the biology, you know, I found so much in there that they're working to find. And I said, I can answer all these questions right now. But they didn't want my answer. So I said, well, you will one day. Maybe not you, but your ancestors. But certainly one day you're going to want my answers to these questions. But anyway, here in 16, he says he's putting this into their minds and in their hearts. In their hearts, I will write them, these laws of Yahweh. I want you to turn over to Matthew 22 now. Matthew 22, and look at verse 37. Now he says, Yeshua the Savior, the true Savior, that's his name, Yeshua, It means Yahweh will save his people from their sins. He says, Yahshua said to him, you must love Yahweh. The King James uses the word shalt, love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So Yahweh gave them this advantage and let them put out this King James Version. And even in the King James Version, he went to showing me things. And I showed them to some preachers. One of them threw his Bible against the wall. He got so angry. I wasn't angry. I was just showing him a verse and letting him read it in his own Bible. Another one broke down and started crying. And I said, are you repenting? It's sad. You know, the Bible says one thing, the King James Version even, says one thing, and the preachers are saying not that, they're saying what the Catholic Church told them to say. The leader of the religions of the earth told them, don't use the name Yahweh. And they say the reason they did it back in Jerusalem, back in Israel, the reason they did it was out of respect for God. Not out of respect for Yahweh now, see? But people think they're referring to the Creator when they say God. This too, of course, is a false name, a false title. It don't belong to Yahweh. In fact, if you'll look up the etymology, you'll see it doesn't belong to anybody. It's a made-up word. But there are certain things it's applied to, like power, force, all the things you'd put forth in your army to go out and steal everything from taking land and people and all their possessions. The Amplified Bible does the same thing. Now, Yahweh allowed this to take place. He allowed it. He gave Satan all the advantage. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. He says this to heaven and earth. In the last days, not now, I'm going to give you a head start here. 6,000 years head start, minus one generation. I'm going to give you a head start. You can do all the deceiving. Nothing will be withheld from you. That's in Genesis 10. Nothing will be withheld from you. You can do all of this deceiving you want to, but in the last days, I'm going to establish my house. In the last days. In Micaiah 4, 1 through 3, you can read it for yourself. Now, if you want to get your interlinear or a book of Yahweh, it's a lot easier to understand, but you can even understand it there if you'll just put the names back where they were before Yahweh allowed Satan to change it. Well, here now in Matitia 6, in verse 37, the correct translation here is, Yahshua said to him, you must love Yahweh, your Father. They translated that word Father. They translated it God, too. but the Hebrew lexicons and alineas, dictionaries, they say you've done it falsely. There's no word there for God. This is just not there. Father, yes. Heavenly Father. That's what Yahshua referred to Yahweh as, the Heavenly Father. Okay, you must. This is a must. There's no getting around it. Yahweh is the one. So here, now you have a King James Version, and it's saying you've got to love the Lord. Or you've got to love God. That's what Satan says. See, in Genesis 3:5. Don't love Yahweh. You won't die. have fun. Now, you talk about deception, and you wonder, people say, well, what on earth could they have been doing that would have been so exciting as to pull somebody out of the Sabbath? I used to do it, brethren. If you watch the news in the past few weeks, you've been seeing a cowboy dressed. That's a deception. He's not a cowboy. I was a cowboy. I wrestled cows, rode cows, bulls, horses. From I think I was born one, old one. He's pulling the covered wagon. The mules were. And I was born either underneath that covered wagon or in the covered wagon, one of the two. I was raised up on the farm working cattle. I know what it is to be a farm boy. This guy is dressed like, in order to get attention, he's dressed like Roy Rogers. I forget the Gene Autry. Roy Rogers or Gene Autry. That was the two that copied the clothes that you changed into to go to town and go honky-tonking. I'm a honky-tonk man. Well, if you noticed it on the news, they showed it about four times. This man walking up the stairs with a hat on, Western hat on. I never would wear them. I said, that thing, you know, it's too tight. I think it'd cut the blood off from my brain. Well, that's just one of the things it does, of course. It puts within you an attitude, a character. You're going to get all this when I read this biology to you, so pay attention to what I'm saying. But he's walking up these stairs, and he's got this guitar in his hands, and he's singing a song. And the song is Friday Night. Friday Night. And they make it look so inviting. I had a band, remember? We would go into a town or get ready to go into a town. You know, we could place, at that time, we could place our folders on car windshields. There wasn't any laws against it. They passed it to stop us, I think. But we'd already quit anyway. But we put it on car windshields, pitched it inside the cars, and we advertised live band. Live band, we're going to be here. Well, the beer joints were not big enough to hold us, so we would move outside. We'd set up on the sidewalk. Cars would be coming down the street and throw their brakes on and back up and stop and come in. But we could draw huge crowds that way. These people don't have to go to all of that trouble. They can get on television and tell them, it's Friday night. Friday night. The work is over. The work shut down. And I'm going to get me somebody new tonight. A little bit used and sickly maybe, but new to me. Got a few diseases. Oh, it probably won't occur to you. And then a few years later, they've cut this part out of your body and that part out of your body and hers too, the new one too. This is today's world. But I'm telling you, this is really tempting. And if you watch it, see, Friday night starts the Sabbath. And I hope there's no one that would be tempted, not in the house of Yahweh, to go to that stupid show. But it's filled with pulling you away and designed for that purpose, for pulling the house of Yahweh members right now out of the house of Yahweh. But remember 10:23. Keep this in your mind along the same chapter, Hebrews 10, that Yeshua is the high priest, writing this stuff in our hearts. If it's in your heart to serve Yahweh like I want it to be, this won't give it this won't have even an ounce of a chance with you to see this crap. And that's what it is. It's bull S. We used to kick them around in the pasture and in the cow lot. Yes, it's that bad. It's worse. It's more defiled than that. Here in Yeshua, he was saying, you must love Yahweh. It's a must. Love. You know, one of the greatest words, it's love. It's one of the greatest words. It's the word love is used more than anything, any other word by the preachers. They don't even know what it is. You can't get it from Strong's. You can't get it from Webster's. You can get a lust from Webster's and from Strong's that's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. If you read what I'm talking about, you'll see. But keep what I said in mind. They're telling you lies. They're telling you they're trying to insinuate sodomy with this word. And this is true in both Webster's and in Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionaries. You know, I think I'm going to, since I'm short on time, I think I'm going to ask you to study these yourself, this word love. And you could bring 100 sermons on this easily, and they wouldn't be boring. Each one of them be different of what the word love actually means. You can read the definitions in Strong's and Webster's dictionary. They're both the same. They push sodomy, and from there goes your bestiality and fornication and adultery. All of them fit together right there in the words they use. Well, here we have Yeshua. He's quoting a scripture in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. Now, it's not the Lord. You must love the Lord. That's what the King James Version said, and Yahweh gave them that advantage. You must love the Lord with all your heart. Love these gods with all your heart. You won't surely die. Surely you won't die. Well, in Deuteronomy now, look at that, 6. Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to prove to you, all you preachers now out there listening to me, I'm going to prove to you it's Yahweh you must love. And if you don't, no, you won't be raptured up out of this hell hole that you've invented here on earth. In 6, Deuteronomy 6, here's where he quoted that from. In verse 5, and you must love Yahweh. You see that? This is what Yeshua quoted. I blew this scripture up in the interlinear. I told you, if you get you an interlinear, I don't think I blew it up enough, but maybe you, I hope you can see it. If not, I'll raise it up again. I got the word Yahweh circled. Can y'all read that from back there? Okay, all of you preachers should be able to see that. The interlinear, the Hebrew English interlinear, shows you Yeshua's words. It's love Yahweh, not love Lord, not love God, as Satan wants you to believe, but love Yahweh. And they even spell it out for you in English. They give it to you there in Hebrew and spell it out for you in English. With all your heart. How about that? And you must, I'm reading from the interlinear, and you must love Yahweh, Father of you, with all of your heart, with heart of you is the way it's translated here, with heart of you, and with all of soul of you, and with all of strength of you. I think that means till you're dead, right? You'll surely have strength. You'll surely have strength to keep teaching, like holy men of old did. Even if you die, you can do this right up till the time you die. And that's the law. That's the law that Yeshua was quoting and says it's a must. You must. Of course, you got to understand what love is, but I'll give you a couple of hints, then you can go from there. The King James Bible, if you can read it, and they put the false name Jesus in there. That's the first lie they tell you. The first advantage that Yahweh said you can take. Yes, you can do that. And he allowed it. Nothing was allowed without Yahweh's permission. That's what Yochanan 1:1 says. Everything that was done there was allowed. But Yahweh said, all of it's false. And he says, in the last days I will establish my house. It'll be called the house of Yahweh. And as Psalms 23 says, it's forever. It's forever. So we knew that it's going to be brought back. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is Satan saying to them, you must love the Lord your God and with all your heart. Not Yahweh, but the Lord your God. The word Lord, Unger's Bible Dictionary tells you, it's a false title. It's a title of men. And they actually say in the Unger's Bible Dictionary, they should have kept the name Yahweh. They shouldn't have replaced it with these titles. That's what Unger's Bible Dictionary tells you. So you must love Yahweh. Now, the word love, I want you to look it up. You could, I'll start you off. Well, why don't you just start there? Right there, Deuteronomy 6. That would be a great place. If you look back there to verse 1, now these are the laws, the statutes, and the judgments. And they asked Yeshua, which is the greatest? Which is the greatest? Let's hold your place right there again and turn back to Matthew 22, and a lawyer, verse 35, asked him this. Verse 36, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Yeshua said to him, you must love Yahweh. That's the greatest. Must love Yahweh. And they removed his name. And Satan did. And said, no, love the lords. Love the gods. Your father, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I know you think from your activities, what your actions are, I know you think that loving your neighbor is going over there and wiping them out. Trump said he didn't want to kill 10 million in Afghanistan. He said, I could do it in 10 minutes. I believe that's what he said. I could do it in 10 minutes, but I don't want to. Now, they know the power of these bombs. They're going to start using them. I don't think that's love, but look at what is written here in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh is our Father. Yahweh is unity. That's what Yeshua said in his house. He says, I'm going to build this. Matthew 18:16, I believe. I'm going to build it on unity. It won't be force. I won't force you to do it. But if you will come to unity with Yahweh's house, with Yahweh's teaching, as Yahweh says in Deuteronomy 12:5, go there to the priest and do what they tell you to do. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Do it exactly. Then you're doing it in unity and you're doing it in love. But he says you must love Yahweh, verse 5, with all your heart, verse 6, and these laws which I command you this day must be in your heart. He's talking about love. Now, this is just one aspect of, and one of the very wonderful meanings of the word love. This law and these laws which I command you this day must, in order for you to love, they must be in your heart. So that will start your sermon right there. And you must teach them. That's love. You wouldn't teach them if you didn't love them. If you didn't love the laws, you wouldn't teach it. So this proves it. And you must teach them diligently. Diligently, he tells you to teach them, then he tells you how to teach them to your children and talk about them. Talk about them day and night before you go to bed and when you get up. Talk about the laws. You might ask yourself, are you doing this? He says it's a must. Yeshua said it's a must. He quoted that scripture right there. He said this is a must that you do this. In Deuteronomy 10, now that's to start you on the word love. But in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, and now, O Israel, what does Yahweh, your Father, require of you but to reverence Yahweh, your Father, by walking in all of his ways, by loving him, this is what he requires of you, by loving him, by serving Yahweh, your Father, with all your heart. Well, here we see that word heart again. With all your heart. Verse 13, by keeping the laws of Yahweh. Now remember what he said in Matthew. He quoted that scripture. And he said, you must love, and it's got to come from the heart. The heart. I've got to get just a little of this biology in. Can't get it all in, but I'll read you some. Scientists explain how Earth's magnetic field connects all living systems. Now, this should stir up something in your mind, and you really should get excited about it, because that's what love is all about, too. And that's what Yahweh wrote the book of Yahweh for, had it written for us, so we would have it throughout all eternity. But here's a magnetic field that it's talking about. The facts, he says. Earth earth as well as all other living systems. Living systems. Now, I brought out laws where Yahweh set in motion different kingdoms in your body. It's about 10,000 kingdoms it takes to run your eyes so you can see. That's how many kingdoms there are in your body that operates your eyes, gets a message from your eyes to your brain and even to your heart. But the facts, these are facts that they can prove now. Earth, as well as all other living systems, have a magnetic field, and scientists are discovering that these fields connect us all. Wow. these fields. Now, this is something we can't see, but now they know it's there, and they can detect it with the instruments that they have, and they can actually prove this. They're calling it a magnetic field. It's a little bit more than that I see in the scriptures. It's more than just a magnet, if that's what you got in mind, something that sucks you to earth if you jump up off the ground or jump off of something, like a magnet that pulls you. It's similar to that, but it involves a lot more than that, and it's got to be combined with billions of other systems for this to work. Now, if you start thinking about Daniel right now and what was brought out today, but what we brought out in the past, and the speaker that was dressed in linen, and how he actually spoke to Daniel. Daniel wrote it down, but he saw two witnesses, but he only spoke to the one that was dressed in linen. For some reason, he spoke to the one that was dressed in linen. Linen. You might ought to start getting a sermon ready on linen. I brought some, and then I dropped it. Because I thought it sounded like I was bragging on myself, and I've never ever done that. I run myself down, but I never brag on myself. I don't have anything to brag about. Have a magnetic field, and scientists are discovering that these fields connect all of us, every human being, and actually carry biologically relevant information. This is this magnetic field that you cannot see. It connects everyone. It connects everyone. I think I'll stop on that one right there. But it's a lot deeper than that. And they know it too. The scientists know it too. This working on this project, I'll pick up there the next time I speak. Remember this, and there's a gathering taking place that I wanted to get to, but I will the next time, Yahweh willing. This right now you're being gathered, and of course this has to do. This new biological discovery has to do with the calling of a person, because it brings connection between you, brethren. Your emotions affect this. Your actions affect it even more. Your bad actions push people away, push this character, this spirit, if you want to call it that, spirit holy, push it away from you, bad actions, because it has to do, this magnetic field that they've discovered, it has to do not only with you, but with everybody that you are in touch with, and right now you're in touch with heaven itself. Wow. This is going out not only to everyone on earth, this right now from you, it's actually causing people to tune in the broadcast or to not tune into it. It could be. It could be, if you want to put it this way, a little voice telling them to pick up the phone or to go to a certain site on that computer they have in their lap. All of these things are possible with what they've discovered right now that's coming forth from each individual. So whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, there's a signal right now that's going forth from you, either righteous or evil. One of the two. Sound like another song. Well, anyway, on this gathering that is taking place right now, that Yehuda gave the corrections here for today. In his days, those who reverence Yahweh will be saved for Israel and his people are the house of Yahweh in whom they trust, and this is the name that he will proclaim to them at Abel, Yahweh. Yahweh is our righteousness. Yahweh. Well, of course, the world, all the world, is saying, don't believe Yahweh, believe Satan. And the lords and the gods are your righteousness. And your Bible says your lords and your gods are evil. And you have your choice in obeying the scriptures, or you can turn your thoughts to righteousness, not your own righteousness, the righteousness of Yahweh's laws. As I just read you, that's what the Savior said too. This is the most important law right here. It's a must that you keep it. It's a must that you love Yahweh. You're not going to be there if you don't. You won't see me again, he said, until you say, coming from the heart, I brought that out in that sermon, you won't be blessed. You won't see me again until you say blessed is the one that comes in the name of Yahweh. We're the only ones, brethren, that come in the name Yahweh. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!